You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
But you notice how your complaint level goes up when you're tired. The second casualty of tiredness is no vision. The children of Israel were tired. They had just walked all the way from Egypt, crossed the Red Sea, into the Middle East that we call it now, the Middle East. And they were tired. And tiredness affects your judgment. That's why you should never get married when you're tired. Go on vacation and rest up, because you can't see clearly when you're tired. Rest up and get yourself together, then come back with a fresh perspective. There are some things that we do when we're tired that have eternal consequences. And we become tired in our walk with God because He hasn't answered. And you're tired. You're tired of struggling. You're tired of struggling with the business, with the job, with the career. You're tired of struggling. It just seems like it's not going anywhere. And you're tired, so you're going to make mistakes. Tiredness will force you to make mistakes. Here you are, you have your cart with the hot dogs and sodas and pretzels, and they're not coming to you the way you want them to. So you get tired, and your mind opens up to start doing a whole lot of other things. Now you want to do hamburgers and cheese steaks, and you want to expand, and you're tired, and you make the decision from being tired. Now you were just, before you were just stuck with hot dogs. Now you got hamburgers and cheesesteaks because you made a poor decision. If you get tired of the way people are treating you and somebody's in your ear telling you you ought to go out and start your own, that doesn't mean it's going to be fruitful. It just means you're going to go out and start your own. The Bible declares that you and I must learn to wait on God until He gives a directive. And the writer says we should do this with joy. We should give God praise. I have an aversion to being forced into situations where I have to wait. A traffic jam, I got a problem. I don't like it. I'll drive 20 miles out the way to avoid, because I like to keep moving. That's what happened at that last snowstorm. I drove way out the way because all the major arteries were clogged. And I said, I ain't sitting with folk who are skidding. So I went way out the way. But I made it home. I wasn't sitting on some hill till 10 o'clock at night. But I wasn't doing it. But you got to know yourself. Now, when it comes to God, I can wait forever. Because I know He has me waiting for victory. God doesn't have me waiting to hurt me. God will tell me no up front. He's not going to have me waiting 6 years and then tell me no. No, He'll tell me no up front. Because He knows I'm trying to use faith and trust while I'm waiting. Now watch this, because this is the first passage for my text. In Isaiah 40, while this is a messianic prophetic book, it does have inklings of immediacy. The Jews are waiting for their Messiah. Isaiah is telling them about said Messiah. He wants them to understand that the Messiah will come through a process. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. There, he conceptualizes both in one passage. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulders.
His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. He is going to be the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and he will migrate into the Prince of Peace. There will be no limit to his reign and his rule. That builds your expectation. It makes you start thinking, this man is coming right away. But he's careful to guide them towards patience. In the patience is when your faith is challenged. In the patience is when your view of God becomes susceptible to fear. When you are waiting, that's when you change your concept of God. He's a great, powerful deliverer if he does it right now. But if he has me waiting, Abraham walks up to God and he says, how will I know that all these things you promised me are going to come to pass? You promised me a seed that extends farther than the stars in the sky and would be more dense than the sands by the seashore. I don't have anybody but Eliezer. And he's a servant. How will I know that this will come to pass? God said, your seed are going to be strangers in a foreign land for 400 years. And at the completion of those 400 years, I'm going to rescue them. I'm going to deliver them and bring them into the land that I've chosen. Why didn't he say 10 years? Five. Why didn't he say 100? He said 400 years. 400 years, and then you'll know that I told you the truth. We can't wait 20 minutes. Oh, Abraham, I'm sorry. I forgot to tell you. Yes, Lord. You're going to be dead. Wait a minute. My seed are going to be in a strange land for 400 years, and I'm not even going to be alive to see them come out. Nope, so you're going to have to die with the promise. That's the epitome of waiting. He's waiting when he's dead. He was dead. And they went in and waited 400 years for him to call Moses. We can't wait for God's impartation in our lives. The Bible declared in Exodus that the children of Israel were groaning. It declares that they had become so full of bondage that they cried to God. When God introduces himself to Moses, he says, I've heard their cries, and I am familiar with their suffering, and I know their sorrows. That passage, the grammar there, does not suggest that God was saying, I know them now. The grammar is past tense. He's saying, I've known how long they've been hurting. Now watch this. And I chose to do nothing. Let that sink in. Over 400 years, I watched men get killed, women raped by Egyptians, children beaten into bloody submission. I know and have known what they've gone through, and I did nothing. I couldn't do anything after the first 100 years. I couldn't do anything after the next 100 years. I had to wait to 400 years because that's what I told Abraham. I am bound by my word. Now, somebody in here ought to think with me right now. I left them there in suffering because I specifically stated they would be there for 400 years. I watched them suffer and felt what they felt for 400 years because I said 400 years. My word does not come back to me empty. What's the moral of the story? When you get a promise from God, doesn't matter how long you go through, you know you're coming out. What I'm trying to convey to you today is the sorrow and the impatience and the sadness that has begun to occupy the chief place in your soul. Kick it out this morning because you have a promise. You have a promise where God, let me read this and we got to go. He says in Isaiah chapter 40, as he brings them full circle, he says, don't you yet understand, verse 28, don't you yet understand? Don't you know by now that the everlasting God, the creator of the farthest parts of the earth, never grows faint or weary. No one can fathom the depths of his understanding. In other words, God does not have to explain to us why we're going through what we're going through. We are commanded to trust him while we're in it. You go to God and say, God, why did you let this man become president? He says, because I wanted to. I just wanted to upset everybody. I wanted you to see that your deliverance is not coming out of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. That the power that you need to get through life, it will not be legislated by Congress. That the Supreme Court, no matter who sits on the Supreme Court, you are justified because of my court. And that no weapon formed against you will be able to prosper. But the only way you can see it is for me to allow wicked people to get to positions of authority so that you will know they cannot take care of you. If I let your candidates win, then you'll put your faith in them. And you'll think they should take care of you. No, I am not saying we should not be for justice. No, we should be for justice. But not at the expense of our joy. I'm sorry certain things happen, but I'm not going to stop praising my God. There are people who do things that are opposed to me, but it doesn't stop me from giving God praise. There have been friends who have walked out on me, who have broken my heart, but it doesn't stop me from giving God praise. If I have to praise him through tear-stained eyes, I will still praise him because I know he's got something good coming out of this bad situation. So lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. You gotta, look at this. Let me finish. Woo, woo. Don't you know that the everlasting God, the creator of the farthest parts of the earth, never grows faint or weary, and no one can fathom the depths of his understanding. He gives power to the tired and the worn out. Tap your neighbor and say, God's gonna give you new strength. He gives power to the tired and the worn out. Hallelujah. And then it says he gives strength to the weak. How? How? Notice this. He said, even the youths shall be exhausted, and the young men will all give up. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew. Do you hear what the scripture is saying? It says you will renew your strength. It says that the strength that you had that has become weary, when you wait on God, it gets stronger. It becomes renewed, so you got to learn how to wait. You got to stop being bored and start expecting. You got to expect God to move. You have to expect God to fix a situation. You got to expect God to strengthen you to go through it. And even if he doesn't change it, you got to expect him to change you. You can't sit around and get angry because God isn't doing what you want him to do. But you've got to say, God, you're doing what you want to do. And I trust you. And I know that all things will work together for my good, because I've been praying to you. I know that my better days are ahead of me. I know you promised to give me double for my struggles. I know you promised to stand right by me. I will not be defeated. I will not be forsaken. I'm going to wait.
They that wait, renew their strength. Renewing is a process. Renewing requires work. You don't just wake up and renewed. You got to go through something. And you have to want to go through it, because you want to be new. I had a pair of shoes that they just don't make anymore. And I love these shoes. No, I like them a lot. Can't love an inanimate object. Like it a lot. And so I had worn them so long, they started getting holes in the leather. I said, the devil is a lie. I like these shoes. I wear them in the summertime. They're just real nice and comfortable on my feet. They're very comfortable because they had grown stretched with my feet. But then they got holes. So I took them to the shoe cobbler. And I said, I need new soles and heels. He said, okay, we can do this. So he said, come back in 3 days and get your shoes. So I gave him my shoes. I went back and got them, and they looked so good. Leather was new on the bottom. I took them bad boys home. I slid my feet in, and they were tight. The comfort that I had was no longer there, because the shoes had been renewed. The comfort for the broken shoe, the comfort for the shoe with the hole, no. In other words, my feet had to now readjust. And you become comfortable in a broken state. But the Bible says he will renew.
Lord, help me.
That means you're not going to be comfortable while he's renewing you. You won't settle for the things you used to settle for. I can wear them now because now my foot has adjusted.
Glory.
To the new shoe. And what God is saying, when you get a new view of God, you adjust to it. You realize he's not going to jump every time you sneeze. He's not going to do everything you want him to do right away. You're going to learn to wait, because you will learn that they that wait upon the Lord renew their strength. I'm not what I want to be, but I'm not what I used to be. Now stop your whining. Get up off of that seat of doubt and stop fearing what the devil will do, and stop looking at the possibility of failure. Now, I'm doing everything I can do, and God's not opening a door. Duh! You're doing everything but trust God. There's a reason he didn't open that door. Watch. You don't need it. You've convinced yourself that you need it. You've convinced yourself that you need that second job. You say, I absolutely need it. But God said he would give you what you need. So if you don't have it, then you don't need it. What you need is faith. And faith will supersede. Oh, I know I'm talking to somebody. Faith will supersede. He said, you will mount up with wings like eagles. You will run and not be weary. Then you'll walk and not faint. Oh, I wish I had time. You run and you're not weary. You walk and you don't faint. We're going to have to explore that next week. Look at that. Run and don't get weary. Walk and will not faint. Lord, help me. I'm going to run out of time. I can't do this in 5 minutes. But let me get to the next one. Then I'll come back to Isaiah 40:31 next week, Lord willing.
He says in Isaiah 41:10, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Do not be," the scripture says, "do not be dismayed." I want you to add these words. Do not be frustrated. Do not be bored. Do not be doubtful. Do not be disillusioned. For I am thy God.
Notice, what will frustrate you? Another God. What will dismay you? Another God. What will cause you to become weary? Another God. He said, don't be dismayed, because I'm your God. He says, and here's what I'm going to do. I love this. I love this. So you're in a negative situation, and it's getting worse, and it's getting the better of your thought life. God says, don't be dismayed, because I'm your God. Now, don't you think that the next phrase should be, I'm going to take you out of it? He says, I'm your God. And I will strengthen you. For what? To go through it. You better get this. God is not, he doesn't get as much glory taking you from it as he does strengthening you to go through it. Think about it. God could have picked up the entire nation of Israel and transported them into the promised land. And he wouldn't have got anywhere near the praise that he received when he opened up the Red Sea. Can you imagine chasing after them? The sea opens and the muddy ground is dry. If I were chasing them, I would have went back. I would have said, hey, y'all, y'all see that? No. He just opened up. There are two walls of water, and the mud is dry. Listen, our gods can't do that. I'm out of here. But not us. Humans challenge God. He says, listen, I'm with you. I will strengthen you. Then he says, I will help you. Ah, why? He's teaching responsibility. God will help you endure a person that you don't want in your life. He'll let you know when to cut the string when they have brought you where he wants you to be. You'll know when to cut the string when they no longer bother you.
We pray that you were blessed and encouraged by the message you heard today. To order today's message, call 215-885-2585. When ordering, refer to the program title, The Promise of God, or the program number 114-18A. If you'd like to view the Climbing Higher daily telecast, tune in to WBPH-TV on Comcast Cable, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Please check your local cable listings for the channel number in your region. To stream Bethel's Sunday services live, visit BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app on iTunes or Google Play. We stream live on Sundays beginning at 8:15 a.m. and 12 p.m. You're also invited to join us in person by attending any of our Sunday services taking place at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m. at our main sanctuary located at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Winco, PA. For more information about Bishop Lambert and Bethel Deliverance International Church, follow us on social media through Facebook and Instagram, or contact us at 215-885-2585. Thank you for tuning in today. Keep climbing higher in the Word of God.
In times like these, you need the Bible. Bethel Institute for Biblical Studies will provide you with the best instruction that brings life to the earth. For your knowledge and your growth in the Word of God, register right now. You can call 215-885-2585, extension 315, or visit betheldeliverance.org.